Good morning. Whatever brings you here today, custom, crisis, or curiosity, you are welcome. God is ready and waiting for you. May you find peace here, peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with the world. Again, welcome to University United Methodist Church. My name's Katie Flynn, and I'm a member here. Also helping lead worship this morning is Nelson Price. He'll be our liturgist. And Pastor Alicia Wood, and I believe Morgan Mills will be helping us lead songs. And Ted will be preaching, I'm sorry. Alicia's here, but Ted will be preaching, so we've got something else to look forward to. If you're new to us today, you can find one of these red folders in the back of the church, and it tells you a little bit about who we are, so I encourage you to take one of those and take a look at it. Everyone can find a black folder that looks like this in their pew. It's got a lot of information in it. It's got a couple of announcements, one for our outreach program and a new program that we're going to be starting there, helping with pet food donations, and another for a fundraiser for Visions for Change. So those are both in the black folder, and you can take one of those as you pass the folder along. And also you can find an attendance slip. We ask that regular attenders fill out the lavender slips and visitors fill out the yellow slips. And we just like people to fill those out so that we can greet you appropriately. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with the congregation, you can hand those to the ushers when they pick them up during the service before prayer time. Otherwise, you can just drop the slips in the offering plate during offering. There will be no child care today, so we welcome all children in service, and we hope that everybody has a great time. We'll have child care again next week. There are restrooms out through this door to my right. And there's rocking chairs in the back if the little ones need a little soothing. As part of our safe sanctuary policy, we ask that all children are accompanied by adults at all times. There are a few announcements that I'd like to call your attention to. There's a bunch of them right in your bulletin, so you can read those over. But a couple that I'd like to bring your attention to. There's a book study going on called Renegade Gospel, The Rebel Jesus. And classes, they started March 3rd, and they're going to run for 6 sessions. They take place 12:30 on Friday afternoons right here, 9:45 on Sundays here, and at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays at Dean Moyer's house. So we welcome everyone who'd like to attend those. There's going to be a speaker for Palm Sunday, Terry Hershey, who I believe Nelson and Barbara know personally. So we welcome the speaker and look forward to that. The sanctuary is going to be open for meditation and prayer on Good Friday, so if you look for something like that, please come and join us for that. One announcement from Pastor Alicia is, if anybody's missing anything from Vacation Bible School or from the last display on the altar, please pick that up in her office after worship today. Please. And let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning, everyone. I am so honored to say that I am the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you here today. This morning, we will continue our Lenten theme from the Amos text, Let Justice Roll Down Like Water. We have waters rolling down toward our baptismal font, reminding us of our baptismal call. Our fish from last week, naming an injustice we are angered or concerned with that needs contact with the waters of love, have been added to our water here. As children of God, we are called to notice injustice and to be creators of justice. Throughout Lent, we will be introducing some old familiar hymns, but also some not yet old familiar hymns. And please know you are invited to participate as feels spirit-filled to you. So if there's a verse that you don't know, that's okay to just sit and take it in. If there's a text you aren't so sure of, that's okay. Just sit and take it in. And just do what feels right for you. I would like to call attention to this Charter for Compassion that we'll be signing next week. We're going to have this here, and we'll put it on the communion table for everyone present to sign as a congregation, the Charter for Compassion. And you can read this after worship, come up and read it, or you can go to charterforcompassion.org. This has already been voted on as a congregation to sign this charter, but it's great that we all take part in signing this Charter for Compassion and that we know what we're signing so we know what we're working to live into. Lent is a time of reminding ourselves who we are called to be in this world. Our Lenten series is inspired by Amos, a prophet, whose message is that God calls us to let justice roll down like waters. Amos says, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Our worship without justice is not acceptable. Rather, our songs must move us to action on behalf of the oppressed. Through powerful music and remembrance of our rituals of baptism, the origins of Lent, this season will offer us reflection and renewed inspiration to let our voices be tuned to the heart of the gospel, proclaiming God's love for all people. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to love your neighbors and to hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is asking us to reach out to the stranger. Those we have been taught are our enemy. Maybe because of their language or their culture that are different from ours. Maybe because they are younger or older. They come from a different part of the world. They might dress differently or have a different political affiliation. Jesus is trying to reconcile all people, making enemies into neighbors and strangers into friends.
Please rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Holy and living God, extend us beyond our comfort zone. Open us to see our inherent connection to others. May peace flow, let justice roll. May your will be done. Here on earth. We have a custom here of greeting one another at this time, sometimes peace be with you, sometimes simply good morning. I invite you now to greet one another by saying, peace be with you.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to invite any children who might be remaining out there to come forward if you're comfortable. And as we welcome the children, let's sing Seated, Traveling Companions. All right, so I was hoping that we could start our time together like we have been throughout Lent. We're almost halfway through Lent, the Lenten season, the season of Lent. So remember how we are doing this prayer? We scrunch down and we're all squished up in a ball to begin with. We tighten our fists. You guys want to turn around and do this with me? So we're going to scrunch up in a ball and we're going to pray. And then after I pause in the prayer, we're going to start to open up, okay? So, Eric, you might want to be on your feet because then you can stand, too. Are you ready? You okay? We hold on to power. We hold on to greed. We hold on to things we don't really need. We hold on to hatred. We hold on to fear and close ourselves off till we can't feel you near. Open our hands, Lord. Help us let go. Open our minds so justice may flow. Open us up so your peace can pour through and make our hearts ready so we can hold you. Amen. All right, thanks for praying with me today. So do you remember what our job is that we've been talking about this season of Lent? What's that? Build a church. That's right. I'm going to sneak down here. We're good. And so what are we doing with this box here? What were we doing to build our church? What's in our box? tools that we need. And so far we have our name tags, because each of us are named by God and a precious child of God. And we have a box of tissues here because it's okay in our church to feel real feelings. It's okay. And then that's all we have so far. So that's my name tag. See my name? I even have a name tag with a picture on it. I don't know how that came about, but that's what I got. So, do we see anything else around here that might... What do you see, Stella? You see another little box there. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's see what it is. So there's a smaller box here, and there's nothing inside. That's curious. And you've already said that one's smaller than the other. Can everyone see this? Which one's bigger, the one we've had the whole time or the new one? The one we've had the whole time is bigger, yeah. So I wonder if we could put our tools into this smaller box. Do you think we can? Do you think they'll fit? Okay, that fits. And our name tags fit. Okay. And it closes up. You know what? I think that maybe what we could do is use this box instead. This could be our new toolbox, because we don't need this big box, and sometimes we just need to take a smaller portion so that someone else who might need the bigger portion can take it. And so how about we use this box for something else, and we use our smaller box, because we don't really need the big box. What do you think we could put inside here if we're not going to use it for our toolbox anymore? Yep, we could put crayons and markers in here. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, what's your idea? Coloring books? Yeah, we could, if you want, we could use this for in the back, and we could put all of our coloring books and crayons and stuff in it for the kids. What do you think? Should we do that? And then that's a way that we can share out of our box. We can have everything in there, and you guys will be able to tell any new children that come, hey, that sparkly purple box is the box for you guys to find your crayons and coloring pages in. Does that work? All right. It is nice to always be sharing. So will you pray with me in closing and repeat after me? You're going to put it back there, Eric? Okay, great, thanks. You know where to put it? Okay, way in the back in the middle? Okay. All right, will you repeat after me in our prayer? God of justice and peace. You guys, God of justice and peace, bless this empty box. Bless this empty box that it may be filled. That it may be filled with the work of our sharing, with the work of our sharing. That it may be filled, that it may be filled with the work of your love, with the work of your love. Amen. Amen. All right. And I am pleased to say that the choir will be singing our anthem next. Amen. During Lent, our middle hymn will be sung responsively. So scripture, and then a sung response, and then the prayer poem, and a sung response, just like we do sometimes with our psalms in the United Methodist Hymnal, where we read a piece of scripture, and then we sing the sung response, and then on and on. So will you please remain seated and sing I Dream of a Church, a Song of Hope, followed by the scripture, and on and on. At our baptism, we promise to nurture others and are reminded that we are to serve as Christ's representatives. Today, we ask the question, do we, as the church, look and act like Jesus? Our song of justice today invites us to dream of a church where justice is flowing, with hope and peace growing. What thoughts and behaviors do we need to shed in order to make room for hope and peace to grow in and through our lives and this church?
Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 25, verses 31 to 40. It's adapted from the Common English Bible. Now, when the human one comes in God's majesty, and all God's angels are with God, God will sit on the majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of God, and God will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. God will put the sheep on the right, and the goats will be on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then those who are righteous will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Then the king will reply to them, "I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me."
Let's dream of a world where
prayer poem by Bishop Latrell Miller Easterling is Before It's Too Late. I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell the number of bombs that will have to explode or the lives that will have to be lost before we understand that we cannot kill each other into the future we think we have imagined. You cannot hate enough to make yourself happy. You cannot destroy enough to make yourself feel secure. You cannot oppress enough to make yourself feel superior. You cannot commit enough evil to make yourself feel holy. I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell how many rights will have to be taken away or how much progress will have to be reversed before we understand that we cannot persecute each other into the future we think we have imagined. We cannot neglect each other enough to feel worthy. We cannot starve enough to feel full. We cannot silence one another enough to feel heard. We cannot fragment each other enough to feel whole. I do not know exactly what lies ahead or how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell how many babies' bodies will have to float on the sea of greed and vainglory before we understand that we cannot bully our way into the future we think we have imagined. We cannot bury each other deep enough to feel alive. We cannot rape each other enough to feel loved. We cannot infect each other enough to feel well. We cannot enslave one another to feel free. Before it is too late, may we understand that the call is coming from inside the house. Before it's too late, may we comprehend that the stench, rot, brokenness, emptiness, insecurity, woundedness, disease is from within and not without. Erasing you will not heal me. May we understand before it's too late. God, help us to understand before it's too late.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to introduce Ted Finlayson-Schuler to all of you and tell you why he's preaching today. And he told me to be short because he has a lot to say, first of all. So it's a long story. You can ask me later about details. But I'm working on becoming an ordained elder. And there's things that I need to do to get there. And one of the things is that I need to write, I don't remember how many papers, a lot of papers, I think 15 or 16 papers, and do a whole bunch of other things. And so the SPRC here has encouraged me to have someone else preach once a month so that I may take that time that I would have taken with sermon prep to work on my ordination papers. So Ted was my first ask / victim. So here he is. Thank you, Ted.
Good morning. Would you pray with me? Gracious, all-loving God, accept and bless my imperfect attempt to interpret your plan for us gathered here, your imperfect followers and awkward lovers. Let these words somehow light a fire, flip a switch, open a mind, heal a memory, answer a prayer, or bring grace and peace to a troubled heart. May we find motivation and understanding not just as individuals, but also as a congregation, so that we can better do your work in the world. Amen. Today's scripture is a familiar one. Jesus is talking about judging the nations at some final end point in time. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. Jesus says to the sheep on his right, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And on the left, the goats, Jesus says, on beyond our scripture today, I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. I saw a meme on Facebook yesterday that paraphrased this scripture in this way. When I was hungry, you canceled my food stamps. When I was thirsty, you diverted lead into my water. When I was sick, you tripled my insurance rates. When I was naked, you raped and blamed me. When I was in prison, you enslaved me to corporations. When I was a stranger with brown skin, you deported me. Jesus responds to the sheep in words that would define what being truly human is. When you have done it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it for me. For the goats, the message is the reverse. Just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. What's really fascinating about this scripture is that then both the sheep and the goats respond to their judgment with exactly the same words. But how different were their intentions? Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? Dr. Alice McKenzie, a professor at Perkins School of Theology at Southern Methodist University, makes this observation. What makes some blessed is the fact that though they didn't realize it, in seeing the poor and helping them, they saw and helped Jesus. By contrast, what makes the others cursed is that they never really did see Jesus suffering and in need because they never really saw the poor. As I was preparing to preach this week, Bishop Latrell Miller Easterling's poem, Before It's Too Late, it kind of stopped me cold in my tracks. My first thought was, I don't know if we can read that in church. We often use the sanitized vocabulary in church. There are certain things we don't talk about, certain things we don't say. But Bishop Easterling pushes through that wall of separation, the wall of separation of the real world from the sanitized and puritized world of mainline church. Her words call us to accountability. We cannot try and impose our desired future on the world with brute force or political or dogmatic pressure. Our means, no matter how nobly constructed, do not justify ends that cause harm to others. And she reminds us that our self-perceived nobility is simply a veneer of self-admiration. Listen again to her closing words that Nelson read. Before it's too late, may we comprehend that the stench, rot, brokenness, emptiness, insecurity, woundedness, disease is from within and not without. Erasing you will not heal me. God, help us to understand before it's too late. Why is it that 59% of millennials raised in the church no longer attend, and 35% of millennials have an anti-church stance? They believe that the church actually does more harm than good. The parable of the Good Samaritan is also about action and inaction. Three people come upon a man who's been robbed, beaten, and left for dead. The scribe and the Pharisee, respected members of the community, passed by the beaten man. And the Samaritan, the hated stepchild of Israel, the outsider, the foreigner, stopped and helped. Let's look at that decision-making process. All three travelers saw the beaten man. Their perception all saw the beaten man. The story tells us the Samaritan was moved to pity. But we don't know what the other two who passed by on the other side felt. Perhaps fear, disgust, maybe they were just in a rush. The Samaritan stopped and bound his wounds and took care of him and took him to an inn to heal. The others passed by on the other side. In my life outside of the church, I'm a school bus safety expert. If you've seen my email address, schoolbusted@safetyrules.net, you might have guessed that. As School Bus Ted, I teach courses, present workshops, write books, and testify in legal cases on school bus safety around the country. Friday, I was speaking with a school bus staff at Fayetteville Manlius School District and was talking about, among other things, defensive driving. Now, you're not going to get PIRP or insurance credit for listening to my sermon. I'm sorry. No insurance deductions. But I was talking about defensive driving, so let's take a look at this shortened video.
A defensive driver must be able to accurately predict the outcome of a traffic situation in order to apply the appropriate defense in time to prevent an accident. The formula for defensive driving is: see the hazard, understand the defense, and act in time. All drivers must apply this formula to prevent accidents in spite of the actions of other drivers or the presence of adverse driving conditions. Let's take a closer look at this formula and how to apply it. 1. See the hazard. Think about what may happen as far ahead of reaching a situation as possible. Never assume that a condition will have passed before you approach it. 2. Understand the defense. There are specific ways to handle most situations. Review these situations so you can act quickly to prevent an accident. Once you see the hazard and decide upon a defense, you must act immediately. Never assume the condition will clear up. Defensive driving does not come easy. You must constantly improve your skills of observation and coordination. Go over situations in your mind and plan your defenses. Seeing the hazard, knowing the defense, and acting in time will help keep you safe.
Obviously, it's a longer presentation than that. So see the hazard or the problem, understand the defense, and act correctly in time. If I was talking about driving, I might relate sitting at a four-way stop a few weeks ago and observing a car coming on the intersecting road at what appeared to be a high rate of speed. If I understand the defense and act correctly in time, I will wait for them to blow through their stop sign and head on my way unscathed. If I recognize the hazard and understand the defense but don't act in time, or if I don't even recognize the hazard or know the defense, I get T-boned and find myself riding in an ambulance thinking, maybe I shouldn't have asserted my right to enter the intersection. My theory is that defensive driving is really, it's a system we can use for everything in life. So as the video suggests, in life we need to be prepared even when the traffic or the weather, the circumstances are not optimal. And rather than hope that the situation resolves itself before we get there thinking, I'm sure there's someone else much better qualified to intervene, we need to imagine our possible options and be prepared to act. How often do we get home and think of a situation we observed during the day and think, I could have done something about that. I could have offered whatever that might be. Given a ride, bought a cup of coffee, listened to a concern even though you needed to get somewhere, stood up for someone who was being disrespected or bullied, or offered congratulations to a couple, a graduate, or a survivor. Last week we wrote on our fish that Dean and I added to our river of justice and righteousness, the injustice that we are most concerned about in our society. The most frequently mentioned injustices were around healthcare, racism, and gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues. Those are the ones within our church that were most often mentioned. Brené Brown is a person I recently found on Facebook. She's a researcher and a storyteller who has written many books and appeared on all the popular talk shows. She says that compassion is the deeply held belief that we are all connected. Compassion, Charter for Compassion. Compassion is a deeply held belief that we are all connected, and that empathy, the ability to feel with, not just for someone, brings compassion alive. So compassion is deeply held belief we're connected, and empathy is what brings compassion alive. The sheep in our scripture understood that connection. They didn't see Jesus in the folks they helped. They understood that we're all connected. So Jesus, person in poverty, refugee, the sick, the hungry, the naked, the unhoused, it doesn't matter. We're all connected. The goats, on the other hand, didn't see the connection that made those others as being relevant. But as Bishop Easterling reminds us, we cannot fragment each other enough to feel whole. We are connected, or we are alone. Take a moment to recognize that this judgment story is not about whether or not people succeeded. Jesus wasn't saying, okay, you made this much money, or okay, you earned that award. It was about how they cared for others. This judgment is not about us dropping out of college or high school, about our addiction or our unfaithfulness, or for losing our job or not making it to church every Sunday. Unfortunately, we seem to thrive on judging ourselves and others. We work so hard to maintain that image of religious piety that when bad things do happen to people in our church, the end of a relationship, loss of a job, exposure of their addiction, debilitating illness, they say to themselves, I don't think I can show my face in church. How sad. How many people here have known somebody who said those words to them? I don't think I can show my face in church. How sad is that? How many people do we know aren't here just because of that? We're often quick to take judgment into our own hands. Professor McKenzie observes that when we set ourselves up as judge and jury over others, I love this, we promote ourselves above our human competence. When we set ourselves up as judge and jury over others, we promote ourselves above our human competence. How many times have you judged and later found out about circumstances that turned that judgment on its head? I made 120 decisions today, all of them wrong. Brené Brown suggests that we always assume that people are doing the best that they can.
I assumed for the first 35 years of my life that people were sucking on purpose just to piss me off. That's what I assumed. And I was like, why are they choosing these things? Why are they making their choices? They should know better. And then when this thing came up for my therapist, what if people are doing the best they can? I thought, my husband had the most beautiful answer to that question. He said, I'll never know whether people are doing the best they can or not. But when I assume people are, it makes my life better. Generosity, to assume the best about people, is almost an inherently selfish act, because the life you change first is your own.
In accident analysis, we use a process called root cause analysis. Root cause analysis looks beyond the superficial facts of the case and ask why, and then why again, and then why at least one more time. Rather than assume an accident is simply a driver's fault, we look at the adequacy of their training, we look at the scheduling of their work, the way their vehicle is designed and equipped, the location of the track, the workplace communication, the attitude and the style of their managers. Believe me, the picture can change dramatically. And so if we use root cause analysis when we look at the actions of others, what will we find out? If someone is not succeeding at work, is it because they don't care about supporting themselves? Or is it because their car broke down, or their child got sick, or job instructions are in a language they can't understand, or because they're allergic to a workplace chemical, or because their mother is dying? We won't ever know all about a person's circumstance, but believing they're doing their best will make us most helpful to them, most able to help overcome the injustice that is holding them back. Jesus is telling us that compassion is what's most important. And regardless of our past, we have the opportunity to decide again for the compassion every day, in every situation, with every person we meet. We pray for God's help because this is hard work. Knowing the injustices that surround us, understanding the defense, how to best fight them, and acting correctly in time isn't easy. Brené Brown suggests the reason Jesus came to live among us was to teach us that loving our neighbors as ourselves is both hard work and work we need to do.
I believe God is love. It's that simple and that complicated. And so if you tried to express love to human beings and just came down and said, I am love, love each other. God is love, and Jesus is what love looks like made flesh. And it's hard, and it's not the default, and it has nothing to do with rainbows and unicorns and fluffy stuffed animals. It's about choosing what's right over what's easy.
The best way to do hard, messy, difficult, important work is to do it together. Take a moment as the music starts to turn to your neighbor, not seeing their race, their social class, their education, their gender preference, their physical ability, their culture or ethnicity, but simply seeing Jesus Christ in their eyes, and say to them, I see the Christ in you. You can do that now. I see the Christ in you. Amen. I see the Christ in you.
I see Christ.
Amen. Make it so. Make it so.
I invite you to close your hands, making a tight fist if you can. Lent became a time of giving up something as a sign of penitence in the Middle Ages. This season, we will contemplate what we need to give up in order to let justice roll down, to let justice prevail in our lives, in our church, in our world. I invite you to contemplate that the more we keep our hands tightly clenched, the less ability we have to connect with others as one body. Now slowly open your hands, letting go of the tension there, and imagine that cool water is flowing into and over them. Let us pray. We come before you, Holy Trinity of Love, knowing that we sometimes act as if we need no one, unable to give of ourselves and reach out to others. And yet you call us to break down the walls that divide us, just as Jesus did. Forgive us and open us to your refreshing water of life. Help us to create a place in this world that is a sanctuary, a refuge from division, not adding to it. Help us to foster the growth of hope and peace, and move us closer to compassion and courage, to speak up and stand up for what is right and good. Amen. If you would like your prayer read as a part of our worship today, please get it ready, and our ushers will come down, and let's sing together.
As we continue our prayer time, we will begin with silent prayer, and then I will offer a prayer. The prayer I'm going to offer is by Thomas Merton. He was a Catholic priest and monk. Daniel Berrigan called him the conscience of the peace movement during the 1960s. And then following that prayer, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. So let us enter into a period of silence, offering to God the prayers from our hearts. Amen. And now the prayer with Thomas Merton. O God, we are one with you. You have made us one with you. You have taught us that we are open to one another. You dwell in us. Help us to preserve this openness and to fight for it with all our hearts. Help us to realize there can be no understanding where there is mutual rejection. O God, in accepting one another wholeheartedly, fully, completely, we accept you, and we thank you, and we adore you, and we love you with all our being, because our being is your being. Our spirit is rooted in your spirit. Fill us then with love, and let us be bound together with love as we go our diverse ways, united in this one spirit which makes you present in the world, and which makes you witness to the ultimate reality that is love. Love has overcome. Love is victorious. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer that the Lord taught us. Our Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. During Lent, we'll be contributing to the waters of justice here, and writing on a piece of paper. Each Sunday, adding to the flowing stream. As we take our offering today, I invite you to write a word representing what frustrates you with the church. These will become part of the waters and of God's promise for transformation. The children will collect the fish during the closing hymn. If you need more fish, simply raise your hand and an usher will bring a fish to you. As we enter a time of giving, I remind everyone to please place your attendance slip into the offering plate. I'd like first to let visitors know that we don't expect you to contribute today. You are our guests. We're grateful you're here, and yet we do have a strong tradition of giving here at University Church. So as a symbol of our ministry in this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings at this time. Will you join me in the prayer of dedication for the gift of this church and its work in the world? We give thanks for the way in which these offerings can embody our welcome to friend and stranger alike. We give thanks for the gift of this community bound and working together. We give thanks. Please remain standing and join in singing. We are called to love one another. Be displayed on the screen.
Amen. Please be seated. Throughout Lent, we will join together in our benediction. I will speak first, and then we'll speak together. And finally, we will sing together, "May Peace Flow." And then I invite you to reflect a while as Dennis Triggs plays our postlude. At the conclusion, please feel free to join us for some coffee and conversation. It's right behind here. You can get there either way through either door here. And we hope that you join us for coffee and conversation in the gathering room. So, as counterintuitive as it may seem, let us believe that who we are together is infinitely stronger than who we are alone, even when we disagree. Remember, you are part of Christ's body, and all the parts of the body depend upon each other. Let us work hard. The hard work of being a willing part of something greater than yourself be the labor of love you embrace for the sake of the whole world. I'm going to say that again because it's so good. Let the hard work of being a willing part of something greater than yourself be the labor of love you embrace for the sake of the world. I invite you to turn toward the center of the sanctuary so you can face each other. So everybody look to the center, whatever side you're on. And I invite you to repeat after me. so that you can see each other and say these words as a blessing to one another. May this song you sing in your heart be pleasing to God. May this song you sing in your heart be pleasing to God, moving you to the passion and compassion of Jesus. Moving you to the passion and compassion of Jesus. Uplifted by a spirit that keeps you humming life's tune of love. Uplifted by a spirit that keeps you humming life's tune of love. Amen.